I'll start again. Ah, that's better. It's very difficult to condense a combined age of 172 years into 10 minutes, but I'll do the best I can. Most of you have heard of Nancy. Perhaps many of you have never actually seen her because she's been poorly for so long. But both Nancy and I were born at a very young age. And apart from that, our upbringing was very different. She was born into a Christian home. Her father, a very godly man, whom the Lord took in his early 50s, but who was a great help to me in my early days. My beginning was a little bit different. My mother died when I was born, and so our household was very disrupted over the years of my youth. I didn't get on very well with my stepmother. We had a series of keepers, nannies, and one having to came. And then my father married one of these ladies, and we didn't hit it off very well, and I left home at 15. And I'd always had a desire, I wanted to go farming. And I put an advertisement, and I come out of college, I put an advertisement in the Farmers Weekly for a job, and I had a reply from a farmer at Farrington Gurney, funnily enough, and another farmer at Crewkerne. And so that's how I came into this part of the woods. And I lived in the house with the farmer, with the family, and his cousin came to gain experience before going on to Sealhane Agricultural College, and he shared a room with me. Now, Tony was a Christian. First night he came, he knelt down by his bed and started to say his prayers, and I thought, oh, one of them. But I had a motorbike and he didn't. And he asked me to collect him from to take him to a squash. Squash? A squash is literally what it says, a lot of people in a small space. And so I took him to this squash, and there I heard the gospel for the first time. I'd been a choir boy for goodness knows how many years, and this is the first time I ever heard the gospel preached. And it was very simple. We were told we were like motor cars, and there comes a time in a motor car when it has to be either reconditioned or as it goes on the scrap heap. And the Lord spoke to me then. Now, Tony was a colourful character. He was dyspraxic. He couldn't coordinate. But he loved chocolate, and in our bedroom there was a chest of drawers where he kept his precious supply of chocolate, because this is early 50s. Actually, it wasn't, it was 1950, and chocolate sweets are still rationed. You just got one little bar a month. And he had his chocolate in his drawer in his wardrobe, and one day he was very dismayed because he saw a mouse bites on his bar of chocolate. A few days later, he came in late at night, and instead of putting the light on and waking me up, he knelt down beside his bed to say his prayers as usual. And all of a sudden, I was conscious of him running round the room, shouting at the top of his voice. And I said, "Whatever's the matter, Tony?" "Oh, I don't know," he said. "Help, stop it." I said, "Well, come over here." And he came to my bed holding the back of his trousers where there was a little bulge. And I squeezed this little bulge and a mouse dropped out of his leg. And we always said that that was God's answer to prayer. Now, Tony was quite a character, and he was a great help to me. They used to take the mickey out of him on the farm. He was fearless. They used to call him Moses. But Tony didn't mind. And he was a great help. Now, at this squash, I met other people, of course, for the first time. And one of them was the owner or part owner of a provender mill in Chard, Wyatt's, Ray Wyatt. And he invited me to the young people's group that met in his house, or rather in his mother's house at that time. And so that's how I found or met Nancy and her brothers. She has three brothers. She was the eldest of four. They were all born within 3 years and 9 months, so they were quite a close family. But their home was always open. Nancy had planned to work with young people. She always had a desire to go to the children's home in Salisbury. It had all been planned. And then her father took up tenancy of a little farm just outside Chard, and all her plans had to be shelved because they couldn't spare her. But at this time, there were two missionary homes also owned by the Wyatt family that were used for missionaries coming home on furlough, because this was the end of the war. They hadn't been able to come home for years. And so Nancy had the job of looking after the children, and that really pleased her. We got to know one another gradually. There was no attraction to begin with. But one night, she was very upset because her mother always made her cater for the family. And this particular night, I think there were 14 youngsters there, and she was busy making sandwiches. In those days, we had a loaf about this long, and we had to cut them up, obviously. So I went out in the kitchen where she was, and she was cutting up this bread. I said, "Yeah, let me have the knife, I'll cut it for you." And we looked at one another across the loaf. And something happened. Well, to cut a long story short, we were engaged, and then we got married in 1954. I want to go back a bit. I've missed a little piece that might amuse you. Nancy was converted at the age of 12 in Crewkerne Gospel Hall. And on her way home from the meeting, she asked her father to lead her to the Lord. And just up the road from the Gospel Hall, there was a little waste area ground. And of course, it's not long after the war, and there's still what they call a static water tank. These are about 15 yards across and 6 foot deep. They held these water in these tanks in case of an air raid and the water mains were damaged. And some wag had written on the side of it, "Fall in the firebomb fighters." This was a slogan encouraging people to join the fire brigade. So it was aptly placed on the side of the static water tank. But it was right beside this tank that Nancy came to know the Lord. We were married in 1954 in Chard Gospel Hall, and things were still very tight. We couldn't have very much, but it was a beautiful day. It rained like it did last Tuesday all day and never stopped. We had two rooms in Chard. The housing situation was even worse than it is now. The tin bath was on the wall outside. The toilet was up the end of the garden. And so we lived there for 3 months, and then the cottage came free at the farm and we moved up there. This was rather primitive, but nevertheless it was home. Not long after I had been converted, I was feeding some cattle. Now farmers will empathise with this. I had a tractor and trailer with some bales and some fodder beet on, got to the gate of the field and opened the gate and went in and shooed the cattle away from the gateway so I could drive in. But they had other minds. As I was driving in, they all came past me and down the road with their tails up. now what do I do? And then I remembered that they told me that if we ask, now you're a Christian, if you ask the Lord, he will do what you ask him. So I prayed, Lord, please bring them back. And immediately they stopped, they turned round, and they ran back into the field. And that's been a great, great encouragement to me over the years, that God answers prayer, even desperate prayers like that. In the little house at Coombe, our first two children were born, Robert and Michael. And then we were moved to a new house down in town. Tide house, of course. And just 3 days after we moved in, Nancy's father died of cancer. It was all a bit of a difficult time for the family. Mother had to sort out the farm and get rid of everything, all the assets and so on. The bank apparently lost the will, and until long afterwards was it found. So there was great trouble. But my father-in-law was so gentle, and yet he was so well-versed in the scriptures. He used to take me with him preaching, and he said, now, you read the scriptures for me. And then the next time it would be, well, would you like to pray and read the scriptures? And then, would you like to give your testimony? And then he'd say, would you like to speak? And if you can't finish off, I'll finish off for you. And that started me off on a preaching career that went on for 40 years. I had great joy in taking the message out. It wasn't every time you saw fruit for your labours, but there are odd occasions when people came to know the Lord Jesus. And what a privilege it is to be used in that way. And in this new house in Crewkerne, that's where Helen came into the world, and also Brian. We went to the little meeting at Crewkerne for a while, and then that closed. There was a split. So what to get involved with that, we moved back to Chard. But there were a whole lot of young people that were sort of left high and dry, so we had young people's meetings in our home in the evenings. And it was lovely many years later to get a letter from one of these young people who told us that the seed that we sought to sow in those days had borne fruit. And so it is, God is so good. Where are we? In early years, we were Sunday school teachers, both of us. We were the main family for hospitality for speakers who came to the services, both on Sundays and sometimes long term. We had one family, one missionary family with us for a fortnight. And when they left, we had 2 and 6 pence, 12.5p, in our purse. That was all the money we had. We were due to go on holiday the next day, and prospect didn't look very good. I went to work the next day, and Mr. Warren, my boss, said to me, oh, Philip, my wife's been turning out, and she's found some handkerchiefs she doesn't need. I'm sure they'll be useful to you. So I had these little brown paper parcel, which he gave to me. When I got home at night, Nancy said, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, I said, I was given a parcel this morning, so I gave her this little brown paper parcel, and she opened it, and there were the handkerchiefs. But inside the handkerchiefs were £100 notes. And a little note to say, thank you for your faithful service. So God, in his wonderful way, provided for us, and we've had this several times during our married life. At one stage, I was asked to do a series on the early life of Moses, and sitting at home and preparing from Exodus 6 concerning the burning bush, the Lord spoke to me, "Philip, are you prepared to take off your shoes?" "What do you mean, Lord? Are you prepared to take off your shoes and go my way and not your way?" Yes, Lord. I suppose, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. And in an instant, the Holy Spirit came upon my life. And I landed on the floor. I went back to church the next Sunday morning, and I got up. Instead of talking about Moses, I talked about what the Lord had done for me. And afterwards, some people said, "Oh dear, what are you going to do? Why are you taking us? What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" And others said, "Philip, I don't know what's happened to you, but I want it." And so that was great. When I was 40, 45, you appreciate that my early days were a bit haphazard. But at 3 weeks old, I was sent to an aunt in London to be looked after until Father could sort himself out. And I went to my uncle's funeral. And my auntie said to me, "Philip, go and see that gentleman in the corner." And there was a little man, white-haired man. His face was shining. And she shouted across and said, "This is Philip, this is Philip, Ruth's boy." And he took hold of my hands and he said, "You know," he said, "your mother was the most wonderful Christian I ever knew. And I didn't know until that moment that my mum had been a Christian." Just imagine the emotion, the wonder. When my father died, my brother gave me the last letters my mother wrote from hospital. And there she's praying for me. God answers prayer. That is so amazing. It's not anything that I've done. It's all that he did. I suppose I ought to have mentioned earlier, I was 21 when I came to know the Lord. And again, Tony wanted transport. And I went to Honiton to a Don Summers rally. And they showed a film on Acts 16, the Philippian jailer, and I found myself saying, "What must I do to be saved?" News travels fast. Time I got back to Chard the next Sunday, Ray Wyatt took me aside and read through Isaiah 53. He said, "Now transpond your name in all of these promises that the Lord made. Philip has gone astray, and yet the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all." And that really cemented my understanding. My walk started with the Lord. I was soon baptized. And then we can go on. We were engaged in ministry, in preaching, in teaching. Nancy used to visit folks in Crewkerne, our neighbours, all those in need. And then she was struck down with cancer. We went away on holiday. We hadn't told the children she'd been to the mobile cancer screening thing, and it turned up that she had cancer. We went for a walk to the Avon Dam, that's on the edge of Dartmoor. An old gentleman came by on a bicycle, and we got talking. And as he went away, he said, "Be anxious for nothing." The very day that we had been diagnosed, Nancy had been diagnosed with cancer, we had this message from the Lord. This dear man, in his 80s, my age, had cycled 14 miles from Plympton to give us that message. The Lord is good. Our employer died, and we had to buy our house. We had a tight house. The company was a limited company. He set up a band of trustees to keep the business going for his employees. But we had to buy the house, and we had no money. We didn't have sufficient earnings, wages to take out a mortgage. But without going into detail, the Lord amazingly financed our home. But then life goes on. Nancy, sadly, has had numerous medical procedures in her life. But in all these times, we've known the peace of God, which passes all understanding. His peace has been our companion through our lifetime. On our retirement, there was an elderly lady that Nancy knew, and we devoted, I expect, 8 years to looking after her. We missed out on going on holidays and all sorts of things because of responsibilities with regard to Dot. But she went to be with the Lord. And then after a while, I'll cut it short there, after a while, Nancy's health began to deteriorate, and children had a conference, as they do from time to time, and it was suggested that we move nearer to Helen. We've been trying for a long time to downsize because I knew the house we were living in was too big for us. I knew that if anything more happened to Nancy, she wouldn't be able to go upstairs. And so we put it on the market eventually. And in 6 weeks, we moved into the bungalow in Midsummer Norton that the Lord had provided for us. The Lord has been so faithful, so wonderful. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus in a real intimate way, I suggest you put your trust in him. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And your house, all our four children, went on with the Lord, and some of, well, we've lost one, but the others are still going on. Thank God.